أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. So we go back to read some parts of Kitab, the book of Ar-Risala, Imam Shafi'i, after what, 3 months interruption, something like that, close to that maybe. Last time we met was probably sometimes early in August, and then there was this World Trade Center crash in September after I came back, and then we're now in November, September, October, November, yeah, it's about 3 months probably. So anyways, so there was so much interruption, we can, I'll try to give you a quick overview so that inshallah we can be back on track before we continue from where we stopped last time. As we said, that the book Kitab Risala by Imam Shafi'i is a book of usul, and usul means foundations or fundamentals of the studies of Islam. So it covers the foundations or the fundamentals of basically fiqh, but it covers other subjects along the way. So that's why the book of Ar-Risala of Imam Shafi'i, as I said before, is considered by some ulama as being a book of Asl of the Usul, which means like the foundation of the foundation, the books on foundations or fundamentals. The book starts by praising Allah and declaring His oneness and seeking help from Him and asking Him for forgiveness and saying the Shahada. Then saying that the people were two types when the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the people. The first type are Ahl Kitab, who deviated from the deen and transformed it and so on. And the other are the Mushrikeen, the pagans, who fabricated in the deen of Allah that which He did not permit. And the great mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal was in sending Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of the people, and his sending was specifically to his own tribe and family, and then after that to the whole, all of the humanity. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to him, down with him, the book, or sent down to him the book, and He described, Allah Azza wa Jalla described the guidance that's in the book, and that it clarifies the halal and the haram, the prohibited, the permissible and the prohibited, and the acts of worship in terms of sayings or statements and deeds, and avoiding the prohibitions. And he mentioned the reward for whoever obeys him, around punishment for the one who disobeys him, all in the book of, in the Quran. And he told us also some of the news about the previous nations, and everything in it is a mercy and an evidence. Everything in the book of the Quran is a mercy and evidence. And the knowledge of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is the true knowledge. And the position of the people in terms of knowledge, or true knowledge, is a function of or results from their position in terms of knowledge of the Quran, which means as much, the more they have knowledge of the Quran, an overall knowledge of the Quran, the more they have knowledge in general. And if they don't have knowledge of the Quran, they don't have knowledge, even if they know about everything else. And he mentioned that it is required from the students of knowledge, there are a number of things required from them. First of all, that they exert their utmost effort to increase in knowledge of the book, of the Quran. Secondly, to be patient in regard to every thing that comes in the way of seeing the knowledge, any hindrance. And third, that they should have ikhlas, sincerity in their niyyah and their intention, doing that for Allah Azza wa Jalla, seeing the knowledge for the pleasure of Allah. And then number four, or fourthly, that they should turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla, asking Him to help them in seeking the knowledge of the Quran, because no goodness can be attained without the help of Allah. And fifth, that they should say and do things according to what they learned of the knowledge of the Quran, which means they should act upon the knowledge. So he says, Imam Shafi says, anybody who fulfills these five things, then he will attain fadila, virtue, and his heart would be lighted with knowledge and with iman, and he would deserve the position of imama in the deen, which means he would deserve to be an imam in the religion. And he said that there is clarification of everything in the book of Allah. There is clarification of everything. Some people will know it, some people will not see it. And then he comes to the explanation of this clarification of bayan, because he says the Quran has bayan of everything. Then he explains what is bayan, and then he says that the bayan that is in the Quran, the clarification of everything, is in different ways. There are different ways of clarification. The first one is that which is fully explained in the Quran by text and by details. And we give examples. I'm not going to give examples now, because this is just an overview. We went over many examples, and we still will go over some more, but just now, you know, to list the different ways of clarification, there are things that are clarified in the Quran, mentioned in the Quran, and like, you know, fara'id, obligations, and then the details of how to do them is also in the Quran. And there are things which are mentioned in the Quran, but the completion of the explanation comes in the Sunnah. And there are things which are mentioned in the Quran only without any explanation, and the Sunnah explains how to do them or how to perform them. And then there are things which are only explained in the Sunnah without being mentioned in the Quran. And since we are commanded to follow and obey the Prophet ﷺ, then by doing that we are indeed following the Quran and taking from it. And the last one, the last kind of bayan, is that which is not mentioned in the Quran or is not mentioned in the Sunnah, but can be derived based on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is where the ijtihad comes. And Imam Shafi'i brought proofs showing that the Allah Azza wa Jalla requires from us or expects from us to make ijtihad, to exert an effort to derive regulations and rulings from the basic evidence that is in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Then he gave many guidelines in regard to this, to the procedure in making ijtihad, and he emphasized the importance of knowing the Arabic language, and that's probably the area where we were discussing near the end when we start. He emphasized the importance of the knowledge of the Arabic language, because that will enable one to understand the text of the book and the Sunnah. And that one should never say anything without knowledge. And this causes more harm than good if they speak without knowledge. He said that the knowledge of the Arabic language, of the Arabic tongue, has been sought from the Arabs, and one whoever takes it from them, from the Arabs, that doesn't mean the Arabs of our time, of course. He means the Arabs, the pure Arabs, who whose language was not contaminated with other languages, like those Bedouins who lived in the desert, and whose language remained pure even after the Persians and the Romans and others, Egyptians, entered into Islam at the time of the Sahaba. And he indicated that the people who deserve the greatest virtue in regard to the knowledge of the Arabic are those whose tongue or language is the language of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, فَكُلُّ لِسَانٍ تَبَعٌ لِلِسَانٍ. Every subsequent language should be follower of the language of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As just like the people of every religion after him, before him, are required to follow him. Now he started talking about different ways of usage of the Arabic language, so that one can realize that when he sees, when you see things, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, that when you see things that are, like sometimes khas or arms, specific or particular, and that it's mentioned in the Quran, or it means something general, or vice versa, and so on. So he says, unless a person knows the tongue of the Arabs, one could say things without knowledge. And in that case, وَهُوَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَذْمُومٌ وَلَا وَافَقَ الصَّوَابِ. He will be blameworthy even if he hits the truth. So that's where we got last time, approximately. And now we continue from there, inshallah. And this is in my copy, page 52. Imam Shafi'i says, قال الشافعي فإنما خاطب الله بكتابه العرب بلسانه على ما تعرف من معانيها. Thus Allah only spoke to the Arabs in his book, spoke to the Arabs with their own tongue, عَلَى مَا تَعْرِفُ مِنْ مَعَانِيهَا,
according to what they know of the meanings of this language, you know. So with the language they understand, in other words. وَكَانَ مِمَّا تَعْرِفُ مِنْ مَعَانِيهَا تِسَاعُ لِسَانِيهَا. And one of the things that the Arabs understood in their language is that it has a wide scope of meanings, the Arabic language. وَأَنَّ فِطْرَتَهُ أَنْ يُخَاطَبَ بِالشَّيْءِ مِنْهُ عَامًا ظَاهِرًا يُرَادُ بِهِ الْعَامُ الظَّاهِرُ. The fitra, the pure understanding and nature of the Arabs, of the original Arabs, is that they know that sometimes when you speak to them with a general text, you mention a general text to them, this is meant by its general meaning, apparent general meaning. وَيُسْتَغْنَى بِأَوَّلِ هَذَا مِنْهُ عَنْ آخِرِ. And in this case, if you hear the first part of this statement or text, that will be enough or suffice you from hearing the rest, because it will be self-explanatory. وَعَامًا ظَاهِرًا يُرَادُ بِهِ الْعَامُ وَيَدْخُلُهُ الْخَاصُ. And sometimes there will be a general apparent text, but it will be the meaning that is intended in it will have some specifications in it. So it will be restricted and not as general as it appears. فَيُسْتَدَلُّ عَلَى هَذَا بِبَعْضِ مَا خُوْتِبَ بِهِ فِيهِ. How would you understand this? From the context. From the sum of what is said in the text, you understand that this is not meant to be as general as it appears. So it has some specification or restriction. وَعَامًا ظَاهِرًا يُرَادُ بِهِ الْخَاصِ. And sometimes it will be there will be a general text, but actually it's not meant to be general at all. It's meant to be specific or restricted. وَظَاهِرًا يُعْرَفُ فِي سِيَاقِهِ أَنَّهُ يُرَادُ بِهِ غَيْرُ ظَاهِرٍ. And sometimes there will be a text which is apparent, but from the context you will know that it is not meant to be as apparent or as literal as it is. فكل هذا موجود علمه في أول الكلام أو وسطه أو آخره. So the knowledge of such things will be in the text itself, either in the beginning or in the middle or in the end. Somewhere there will be an indication to tell you that whether this is general and it's meant to remain general, or general that it is partially restricted, or general which is fully restricted, or it is only restricted and it's not general. وَتَبْتَدِئُ الشَّيْءَ مِنْ كَلَامِهَا يُبِينُ أَوَّلُ لَفْظِهَا فِيهِ عَنْ آخِرِهِ. Which means تَبْتَدِئُ means the Arabs, Al-Arab. The Arabs, sometimes they start some speech or speaking about something, and the beginning of its speech will indicate what is meant by the end of the speech or the statement. وَتَبْتَدِئُ الشَّيْءَ يُبِينُ آخِرُ لَفْظِهَا مِنْهُ عَنْ أَوَّلِهِ. And sometimes the end of the statement will explain what is in the beginning, what is meant by what's in the beginning. Which means you cannot take it like mathematically. It's one step by step. You say, here 1 plus 1 equal 2, so it should apply exactly as it says. Because you have to read the whole text and see, because sometimes what's in the end will explain what is meant by what's in the beginning. And vice versa. وَتَكَلَّمُ يعني تَتَكَلَّمُ بِالشَّيْءِ تُعَرِّفُهُ بِالْمَعْنَى دُونَ الْإِضَاحِ بِاللَّفْظِ كَمَا تُعَرِّفُ الْإِشَارَةِ. And sometimes the Arabs would speak about something and explain it by meaning without explanation or a clear explanation by text. كَمَا تُعَرِّفُ الْإِشَارَةِ. Like it would indicate by a pointing motion or movement, like you point to something, so it will be something like so slight, but still it has a meaning in it. ثم يكون هذا عندها في أعلى من أعلى كلامها. And then such things, which means where the text will have there is a small indication to tell you what is meant by the text. This, but it's not clear to most people, and only the very eloquent people will see this. So he says, this would be يكون عندها هذا عندها من أعلى كلامها. It'll be like the highest, the peak of its language, of its speech, the peak in how the in eloquence in the Arabic language. لانفراد أهل علمها به دون أهل جهالتها. Because such things are known to be only to the people who are specialized in it or have the knowledge of it, and not the ignorant people. وتسمي الشيء الواحد بالأسماء الكثيرة. Also the Arabs, sometimes one thing they give it many names. Like they say that the sword has I don't know how many tons of names, and the same for the lion, and the same for. But these are examples. But you know, almost everything has more than one name in the Arabic language. Okay, now let me finish the sentence. So, وتسمي بالاسم الواحد المعاني الكثيرة, and with one name, with one word, sometimes it applies it to many different meanings. And this I noticed, you know, like the non-Arab brothers, when they translate things from Arabic, and you see in the writers who write in English, but they are not originally Arabs, you find sometimes they see a word and they translate it to mean something, but actually it means something totally different, because the same word has different meanings. And unless they have deep knowledge of the Arabic language, they cannot distinguish between these different meanings and know what this word is meant to be in that particular case. So this I find to be the most common mistake that the brothers, even you know the good writers among them, make in the when they write translate things from Arabic. وكانت هذه الوجوه التي وصفت اجتماعها في معرفة أهل العلم منها به وإن اختلفت أسباب معرفتها معرفة واضحة عندها ومستنكرا عند غيرها. Okay, he says these different things that I mentioned, that they come together to be the knowledge of the people of knowledge, which means the specialized people in the Arabic language. So the Arabs who have specialty in the knowledge of the Arabic language are the ones who know all these different forms that I mentioned. وإن اختلفت أسباب معرفتها, even though they would learn this knowledge by different means, which means some of them will know it just by fitra, by saliqa, which means they were brought up in the in the desert, in the pure environment of the Arabic, and they learned the correct Arabic language. And some of them probably will be different, like Imam Shafi'i himself, for example. He learned, he went and stayed with those Bedouins for a long time to learn the pure language from them, and he would learn it from specialized people and so on. So others, there are different ways to acquire this knowledge. And as I said, he's talking about his time. This, in our time, I don't think this is possible at all, to get this kind of knowledge of the pure Arabic language. So the best we can do is see what they say about the meanings, because we do not have the pure nature to be able to tell what are the correct meanings of different things. And many times I'll be reading something and understand it one way based on what is known to us, commonly known to us in our time, how they use the Arabic words and so on. And I go to the books of language like Islam and Arab or others, and I find that the meaning is different from what I thought it is obviously. So, anyways, he says that even if they have different ways of learning the knowledge, still they would have this encompassing knowledge of the Arabic language. مَعْرِفَةً وَاضِحَةً عِنْدَ. To them the knowledge is clear, obvious. وَمِسْتَنْكَرًا عِنْدَ غَيْرِهَا. And it is a rejected or unclear or weird understanding according to other people. so they can't distinguish this. مِمَّنْ جَهِلَ هَذَا مِنْ لِسَانِهَا, for those who do not understand this or are ignorant about this in regard to the tongue of the Arabs. وَبِلِسَانِهَا نَزَلَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَاءَتِ السُّنَّةِ, and with the tongue of the Arabs the book was revealed and the Sunnah came. So he is coming back to tell us, to remind us after this discussion of the Arabic language, that all this discussion is to tell us that we need to understand the book and the Sunnah, and the only way to understand them is to understand the Arabic language properly. فَتَكَلَّفَ الْقَوْلَ فِي عِلْمِهَا. فَتَكَلَّفَ, تَكَلَّفَ means okay, مِمَّنْ جَاهِلًا. So فَتَكَلَّفَ الْقَوْلَ فِي عِلْمِهَا, which means the ignorant person speaks artificially or without knowledge. So he gets into some sayings and statements, gives some opinions in regard to فِي عِلْمِهَا, in regard to the knowledge of the Arabic language. تَكَلُّفَ مَا يَجْهَلُ بَعْضًا, in a way that the way that one who does not have the full knowledge would speak. So the ignorant people cannot have the full knowledge, but they still would speak and they pretend that they know and they can give some opinions about the Arabic language or the book and the Sunnah without the knowledge of the language. Now he says, وَمَنْ تَكَلَّفَ مَا جَهِلَ وَمَا لَمْ تُثْبِتْهُ مَعْرِفَتُهُ كَانَتْ مُوَافَقَتُهُ لِلصَّوَابِ إِنْ وَافَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ غَيْرَ مَحْمُودَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He said, and the one who gets into talking about that which he has no knowledge of and which has not been confirmed by his knowledge or understanding or learning, so he has no knowledge of it and he still speaks about it, كانت موثقته للصواب, then his hitting the truth, what he says, if it agrees with the truth, وَإِنْ وَافَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْرِفُ, even if he happens to hit the truth, even though he is most likely to not to hit it, but even if he hits it, غَيْرَ مَحْمُودًا, that is not praiseworthy, because he doesn't have the tools, like somebody who let's say does not know how to hunt, how to use a gun, and he takes it and he's trying to shoot a bird, but it's possible that he will shoot some people and hurt them, and even if he did hit the bird, but he's not praiseworthy because he is doing something that is dangerous, harmful, and so on. So إِنْ وَاثَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثِ الْعَيْفِ غَيْرَ مَحْمُودًا, this will not be praiseworthy, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ, and Allah knows best. وَكَانَ بِخَطَائِهِ غَيْرَ مَعْذُورًا, and when he makes a mistake, he is not excusable, he is not to be pardoned, because he has no knowledge. إِذَا مَا نَتَقَ فِي مَا لَا يُحِيطُ عِلْمُهُ بِالْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ الْخَطَئِ وَالصَّوَابِ فِيهِ, when he speaks about that where he cannot distinguish because of his limited knowledge between the truth and the falsehood in its regard. Now he comes back to talk a little more about the different kinds of bayan, and now he's breaking things to smaller pieces again. And as I said before, you know, this is the discussion of Imam Shafi'i is discussion of usul here, and this discussion is, I mean, when you talk about usul, it's usually a hard subject which is at a level that is not elementary level. I mean, you start with many other things before you get to this, and but for the book Risala of Imam Shafi'i, it has the merit that when he talks about usul, he talks about many other things that are of benefit to us, like the importance of the Sunnah, the importance of the Quran, Sunnah, the importance, as you heard, of the Arabic language, and he gives so many other examples from the Quran and the Sunnah that makes, enriches the discussion and makes it an overall beneficent subject that will benefit us inshallah in different sense. So even though, you know, you find titles that are sometimes prohibitive or hard to capture it or to understand, but when you go through discussion, and of course, I mean, his language, his the way he speaks is very, very strong and very hard to understand independently. But if we go over, if you go over the explanation of this and understand what he means by it, you find that it is very nice and very common sense from the based on our knowledge of the deen. So he says, and this is the title of this chapter or section, بَيَانُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ الْكِتَابِ عَامًا يُرَادُ بِهِ. To be general, but has some restriction. And if you remember when you talked about the different kinds of bayan, we mentioned one, we did not mention them or discuss them in this respect. We discussed them in the respect of the relationship of the Quran to the Sunnah. That the first kind of bayan was that which the Quran came the text of the obligations, for example, and the detail came in the Quran, complete. And the other was complete that has some further explanation in the Sunnah and so on. Now he's talking about the bayan in the Quran from a different aspect, which is not too far off, but from the first one, but it is still different. So he says there are things that have been that came in the Quran, general, and they are meant to be general, but they have some specification. There are texts which came general, and they are meant to be general. But now there are things which are restricted, and this is now based on the background that he laid for the knowledge of the Arabic language. Let's see what examples he gives us. He says, Imam Shafi'i, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. Allah is the creator of everything, and He is a witness over everything. Allah is the creator of everything and a witness or a safeguard over everything. وَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He created the heavens and earth. وَقَالَ مَا وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living thing on earth. دابة means anything that crawls or that walks or that moves on earth, but Allah is the one, but that upon Allah is sustenance. He says all of this is عام لا خاصة فيه. All of this is general, there is no specialty or restriction to it. When you say Allah is the creator of everything, you cannot say except a few things, everything. And the same, you say Allah is the provider for everything, you cannot say except some people that I know, that somebody else provides for them, no. And this reminds of the joke that is mentioned by some scholars about a man who was like a mufti, and his father was an ignorant man, and this mufti wanted to travel, to go on a trip, and there was nobody in the place where he lived, the village where he lived, who could give fatwa in his absence. So he said to his father, it's best that you stand in my place and give fatwa. So he said, but I don't have any knowledge, how can I give fatwa? He said, it's easy. Whenever somebody asks you something about anything, say, there are two opinions in this matter. And that's it. في المسألة قولا. So he said, that's easy, and I'll do it. So he said, and everybody comes and asks him questions, says, في المسألة قولا. There are two opinions in this matter. Then somebody who realized that he doesn't know anything, he said, he asked him, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ. If they doubt about Allah, and he said, "Two mas'alat qawl, two opinions." So, So yeah, there are things that there's no restriction. I mean, there are general texts and they remain general. فكل شيء قال الشافعي رحمه الله فكل شيء من سماء وأرض وذي ريح وشجر وغير ذلك فالله خلقه. Everything, whether it's skies, heavens, earth, ground, something that has life, trees and other things, all of it Allah created it. وكل دابة فعل الله رزقها. And every living and crawling and moving thing, that Allah is the one who sustains it. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. And he knows where it ends up and where it is hiding and so on. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Which means it is not for, which means it's not permitted for the people of the Medina and those who are surrounding them of the Bedouins that they would stay behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which means when he goes for a fight, they are not allowed to stay behind. وَلَا يَرْغَوْا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Or that they would be more concerned about themselves and their well-being than the well-being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وهذه في معنى الآية قبلها. And this has a meaning similar to the previous, which means that it is a general text. وإنما أريد به من أطاق الجهاد من الرجال. But it is only intended with this text those who are capable of jihad among the men. وليس لأحد منهم أن يرغب بنفسه عن نفس النبي. And it's not permitted for any one of them to prefer himself or to take away or remove himself from supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أطاق الجهاد أو لم يطق. Oh, he says those who are supposed to go and support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the ones who are capable of jihad, but no one is supposed to prefer his well-being over the well-being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether he is capable of jihad or not. Everyone is supposed to be willing to sacrifice himself for the safety and security and well-being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ففي هذه الآية الخصوص والعموم. So this ayah has some restricted meaning and some general meaning. What is the restricted meaning? What is the restricted meaning here? صحيح. You get that? The restricted meaning is that only the capable people can go for jihad, or are required to go for jihad. But the general meaning is that everyone, no restriction here, should be willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of the Prophet and cannot prefer himself over the Prophet. وقال تعالى والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والبلدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها. And Allah says, what means المستضعفين, the weaklings among the men and women and children, who say, our Lord, take us out of this village whose people are oppressors. So the weak people who say, who make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla to save them from the oppressing people. وَهَكَذَا قَوْلُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُوهُمْ. And then when they reached the people, this is about Musa and Al-Khadr, when they reached a certain village and they asked the people who of that village to give them food, but they refused to give them food. استطعنا أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما, but they refused to host them. وفي هذه الآية دلالة على أن لم يستطعما كل أهل القرية فهي في معناهما.
He says this ayah, when they went to the village and they asked the people to host them and they refused to host them, it doesn't mean that they asked every single individual in the village. They did not knock on every door and go to every person and say, give us some food, and he said no. It means, so this ayah is not, it is general in meaning, but it has restriction, which means they went to some of the people of the village. And
now he says, فَهِيَ فِي مَعْنَاهُمَا. Oh, he's commenting on the previous ayah. وَفِيهَا وَفِي قَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا خُصُوصٌ لِأَنَّ كُلَّ أَهْلِ الْقَرْيَةِ لَمْ يَكُنْ ظَالِمًا قَدْ كَانَ فِيهُمُ الْمُسْلِمُ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا فِيهَا مَكْثُورِينَ وَكَانُوا فِيهَا أَقَلَّ.
Now he says in the previous ayah also, the one that he mentioned about the people who are making dua to Allah to take them out from the oppressing town, he says not every single person in that town is an oppressor, because they themselves are not oppressors, they are making dua to Allah. So it's talking about this is a general meaning, but it has restriction because some of the people are Muslims, but they were overpowered and they were the minority in that town.
وفي القرآن نظائر لهذا يكتفى بها إن شاء الله يكتفى بها إن شاء الله منها, which means and there is in the Quran some similar text to this, and with these texts that you mentioned we will be suffice, or these will suffice us from going to the other text. وفي السنة له نظائر موضوعة نظائر موضوعة مواضعها.
And also in the Sunnah there are similar or parallel texts to this that are placed in the correct places. Now this was about the general texts which are restricted. Here he says, and the next title here, بيان ما أنزل من الكتاب.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
إذا بدك تمشي يا شيخ خبرنا.
بيان ما أنزل من الكتاب عام الظاهر وهو يجمع العام والخصوص.
The explanation of what has been revealed in the book that has a general, or appears to be general, but it combines between generality and restriction or specialty, let's say. And the difference between this and the previous part, that the previous section it was about what is general but it has some restriction. This is a text which appears to be general but it's actually not general. It is a combination of general meaning and restricted meaning. So there is less, you know, you can say that there's less, the mix in the first case was mostly general but it has some restriction. Here he's saying about about equal mix. So he says, قال الله تبارك وتعالى إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. Which means Allah says تبارك وتعالى, which means we have created you from a male and female and made you into nations or shab, what is shab? Peoples. Yeah, peoples or nations. We made you into nations and tribes so that you would be acquainted with each other. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْخَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most noble among you before Allah are the ones with the most taqwa. Okay? So this ayah from Surah Al-Hujurat is first one he says, and the next he says, وَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Which means fasting has been ordained upon you as it has been upon those before you that you may attain taqwa. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, which means a counted number of days,
فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر. And those of you who are sick off or on a journey, then they do some other days, which means they substitute them with other days. وقال إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. And he said the third ayah that he brings. The second ayah is from Surah Al-Baqarah. It's two ayahs actually from Surah Al-Baqarah. And the third, إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا, from Surah Al-Nisa, which means indeed the prayer has been made upon the believers a timed prescription. فبين قال فبين في كتاب الله أن في هاتين الآيتين العموم والخصوص, which means it's clear from the book of Allah that these two ayat, and he says two and he mentioned three, these two ayat have generality and specialty, or general meaning and special or restricted meaning. فأما العموم منهما ففي قول الله إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقد تعرفوا. The general meaning is in the statement that he's saying we have created you from a male and female and made you into tribes, into nations and tribes, that you, so that you will be acquainted, get acquainted with each other. فكل نفس خطبت بهذا في زمان رسول الله وقبله وبعده مخلوقة من ذكر وأنثى وكلها شعوب وقبائل. Every soul that was addressed with this text at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and after his time is either male or female. Is that true? I mean, some people are, very few people are. Exactly. And all of them are tribes and nations. Nations and tribes, even though, as you know, some people have forgotten even this, I mean, that they are made of tribes, or which a tribe means a larger family, you know, that's what it means. Like, inshallah, you know, if you have enough children, you can say that you have a tribe.
I think you're qualified.
but in the West, for example, now they don't, you know, they forget the linkage to their tribe. They still, you know, have some boasting about being from the some tribes, like the I'm not talking about the Red Indians, I mean even the white people, they say what, Aryans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and whatever, you know, when they want to you know, to boost their white supremacy, exactly. But there are nations, there are tribes, even though some people sometimes do not know what tribe they belong to and where they came from and so on, still they came from tribes. So all people are tribes and nations, whether they know it or not. وَالْخَاصُ مِنْهَا, so this is a general meaning. وَالْخَاصُ مِنْهَا فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, but the restricted part of this ayah is in the statement of Allah, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the most noble among you are the ones who have most taqwa. لِأَنَّ التَّقْوَى إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ عَلَى مَنْ عَقَلَهَا وكان من أهلها من البالغين من بني آدم. Because taqwa is only for those who understand it and are part of its people, which means the people who have indeed the taqwa, among those who attain puberty of the human being. So you cannot say, for example, mashallah, my 6 month infant, she has so much taqwa, or my 7 years old child, because they still don't understand what taqwa means, and they do not have, they have not reached the age of when they will be, you know, accountable for what they do. So taqwa is only for those who understand it and are of its practices among those who attain puberty of the human beings. دون المخلوقين من الدواب وسواهم. And not from the other created things of animals and others. وَدُونَ الْمَغْلُوبِينَ عَلَىٰ عَقُولِهِمْ مِنْهُمْ, and not, does not apply to those who are overwhelmed in regard to their minds or understanding among them. والأطفال الذين لم يبلغوا وعقل التقوى منهم. And okay, here he has a footnote, which I don't think disagrees with what we said earlier, but let's go over it. He says, what is meant here, because, you know, let me say why I'm stopped here, because he said, and also the children who have not reached puberty and understanding, وَعُقِرَ التَّقْوَى مِنْهُمْ, or they did not reach puberty, and taqwa is not seen in their behavior. Now he says in the footnote, the way that he says this statement, it's not clear whether he is making the exclusion of these children, like he made the exclusion of the animals and other things, or he is saying that these are also people who could have taqwa. And that's why the footnote. And, you know, basically the footnote is saying that the children who have not reached puberty, but they have the understanding of taqwa and they perform the obligations and avoid the prohibitions, then this could be, you know, it could apply to them in some sense that they have taqwa if they do this, because they are being trained on having taqwa, just like one trains his children on prayer and righteousness and things like that. So you say a righteous child, a child who prays, so similarly you can say a child who appears to have taqwa in the sense that he is being trained to have taqwa, to have prayer, to have good religion and so on, obedience. But the actual obligation of taqwa or any other obligation in Islam does not hold for anyone until he attains purity and he has the understanding of what he's doing. So he says, Ahmad Shakir, he's commenting by saying, Al-Huma Shaltar Taklif, the two obligations for a person or conditions for taklif, for accountability, are first, that one should reach puberty, and the second is that one should understand what he's doing. So like a person who has attained puberty but he is a madman, or he's not stable mentally, then you will not expect from him what you expect from the same people. Anyways, so back to the ayah. The ayah is saying, this is the first ayah that we mentioned in here, إِلَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the most noble among you or the most honorable before Allah are those who have taqwa. So not everyone has taqwa. So even though the first part of the ayah is talking that Allah created us from nations and tribes and families and so on, and from male and female, this is general to everyone. But the next part of the ayah is restricted, specific to those who have taqwa, and this is just a small part of the human beings. فلا يجوز أن يوصف بالتقوى وخلافها إلا من عقلها وكان من أهلها أو خالفها فكان من غير أهلها. So you cannot describe anyone as having taqwa or not having taqwa unless he understands what it is, taqwa, and unless he is one of the people who adhere to taqwa or perform taqwa, or on the other hand that he does not perform taqwa and therefore he is not one of the followers of taqwa or the ones who practice taqwa. الكتاب يدل على ما وصفت, and the book, which means the Quran, indicates what I have described. وفي السنة دلالة عليها, and in the Sunnah there is also an indication in this regard, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع القلم عن ثلاثة. The pen has been removed of three people. النائم حتى يستيقظ والصبي حتى يبلغ والمجنون حتى يفيق. The sleeping person until he wakes up, and the child until he reaches puberty, and the insane until he comes back to his senses. So these three people are not accountable, are not held accountable for what they do. They are forgiven whatever they do. It's not in their record of good or bad deeds, especially of bad deeds. The sleeping person, the child, and the insane. This hadith is authentic. It is reported from Aisha and Ali radiallahu anhuma, and it's recorded in Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Hakim, Ahmad, Tirmidhi, etc. And also it's reported from Abu Qatada. But it's not reported weak. Anyway, the hadith is authentic, and now he continues. This is also part still he is discussing the first ayah of the three ayah that we mentioned in the beginning. وَهَكَذَا التَّنْزِيلُ فِي الصَّوْمِ وَالصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْبَالِغِينَ وَالْعَاقِلِينَ. He says similarly, the revelation, the second ayah, he's talking about the second ayah about Siyam, that fasting is ordained for you, is an obligation on you, like it was for those before you. He says, and the third one, which was about the Salah, that it is an ordained, timed prescription. He says that both of these obligations, fasting and prayer, are عَلَى الْبَلِغِينَ الْعَاقِلِينَ, they apply to those who reached puberty and who are sane, دُونَ مَنْ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ, but not, they do not apply to those who did not attain puberty. وَلَمْ بَلَغَ مَنْ غُلِبَ عَلَى عَقْلِ, or those who attain puberty but they are not sane. وَدُونَ الْحِيَّدِ الْحُيَّدِ فِي أَيَّامِ حَيْضِهِمْ, and also it does not apply to the menstruating women during their menses. Okay, these do not apply. So these texts, they are general, but they have there's in them a general meaning and a restricted meaning. I think we should stop here. Let me see how much time we have left. Very little, not much. I think this is a good time to stop, because then we'll talk about other classifications or other classes. So inshallah, let's stop here. And yeah. So this ends this section. So if you have questions, we can, you know, from this or anything else, inshallah, we can use the remaining few minutes.
Because
from
worship, Allah has called this for the reward, worship of a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's legitimate for people to, you know,
yeah,
obey Allah just for His reward.
He mentioned this, and he said that he, as an acceptable text, you mean?
Yeah. Then it says, the worship of the people who fear Allah is the worship of the people who are enslaved against their own will.
The worship of people who worship Allah just because they love Allah, and this is the people that we should aspire to learn from. Allah, we stand.
Yeah, but I can understand how we should aspire for the person who fears Allah, how we should teach us, we should aspire for the person who gives Allah above the person. mentioned that a lot of people don't know how much they fear him.
Yeah.
You know, they say because how much they love him, how much they fear him is the highest, you know, be the highest level of that one.
Yeah, I can't believe that he subhanAllah stated that without, you know, realizing or pointing that this is, you know, this has many mistakes in it. This text, it's said by some Sufis, and some people say that Rabi al-Adawiyya is the one who said this, and some say some other Sufis, but whatever it is, it's a wrong statement, saying that I worship Allah, the one who worships Allah, seeking his Jannah, or in order to get into his Jannah. Now this is the worship of Tujar, those who are trading, making merchants, those who are trying to make profit.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with the profit of the hereafter?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the winning profit or trading or occupation, as Allah says in a number of places of the Quran. And then he says, and whoever worships Allah, fearing his fire, then this is the worship of the slaves. Trying to remember the text in Arabic.